My name is Victoria Barella, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
Everyone, this is Johnny Mota, JMota3 on Twitter. Don't follow me there. I'm lost. If you want any free advice, get it elsewhere because I don't give it for free. This is AV Power Up.
Hey, everybody. This is Darren Pinchback, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
And I am Corey Moss at CB Moss, and you are listening to AV Power Up on Rave Pubs Radio. I am your host. Let's power it up. Tonight, we are talking post-Digital Signage Expo, that's DSCDU, and many others. And we have guests. We have very good guests tonight. I believe the count is five. We have four right now. One more will be joining us. To start us off, before we get to our guests, though, Darren has a little message for us. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, everybody. If you have IT needs, you need to really check out Ingram Micro. With over 80% access to the IT spending, you really got to check these guys out. They have what you need. Do it.
And you can they have AV too, don't they, Darren?
They do have AV. They do have AV.
They do carry AV. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they provide a lot of solutions for all your AV IT needs. www.ingrammicro.com.
Excellent. Okay, so tonight, our first guest is the owner and founder of Rave Publications, Gary Kay. How are you, Gary?
Doing well, Corey, and everybody. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Very good. You're welcome. Next, we have one of the two from Barco, Allison Maxson. She handles the press and PR for the company. How are you, Allison?
I am doing very well. It's good to be back. How are you?
Good. Allison brought another guest tonight, right, Allison?
Yes, one of my colleagues who we were attending DSE last week. Mm-hmm. She's going to be joining us soon to kind of share what we were showcasing at DSE and to talk a little bit further with you. So we're excited.
Yes, and she will be joining us very soon.
Yes.
Stephanie Gutnick with BroadSign is here. How are you, Stephanie?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Very good. And Brian McClymans with Peerless AV. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me along.
Did I say your last name right, Brian?
Long Eye McClymans.
No, Long Eye. That's right. There you go. Well, it usually takes me one, two tries. So if I got it on one, that's great. Anyway, starting tonight, what I wanted to do was start with Gary. DSC is a big deal for Rave, and just like the other shows, but you know, I have to say, when it comes to Digital Signage Expo time, it is a big deal. Gary, you do a tour at the Digital Signage Expo. You did it again this year. Tell us about that. Tell us about what the Digital Signage Expo means to Rave. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, hats off to Brian. They had by far the best display at the show, so congratulations, Brian. They had a Tesla in their booth, they didn't just sit the car in the booth. They actually connected it to digital signage. I'm sure Brian will talk about that. I don't want to steal your thunder about what you guys did with Volta there, but it was awesome. So hats off to them. Allison, great display of your flexible LEDs. Hats off to that. I mean, as you know, won an award at ISE.
Yes.
That we just gave earlier this month. But the show is, as you guys know, is the only dedicated digital signage show in the industry. I mean, there's digital signage at Infocom. There's digital signage at ISE. But this show is only digital signage. There's nothing else. So you don't find people exhibiting there that aren't making something directly related to digital signage. The show is about 60% hardware, 40% software and services. And the show doesn't really grow in number of exhibitors, but the type of exhibitors has changed over the years. It's sort of, I would say, and Brian would be a good person to kind of speak to this because I think he's been there as long as I have. It's matured, I would say, with the kind of exhibitors that are there and the kind of attendees that are there. I wouldn't say that everybody's happy with exactly who shows up because, you know, let's face it, the digital science industry is much larger than only 6,000 people. So I'm sort of dumbfounded why that show isn't 90,000 people because the industry is so large. But I think the problem is the creative services side of that, where a lot of the money is not showing up to that show yet. But from hardware standpoint and from the technical services standpoint, it is the premier digital signage show. And this year it did not let anyone down.
Excellent. Excellent. I tell you what, Brian, since Gary mentioned you and the Tesla, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for the mention, Gary. Sorry. Yes, we've been partnering with a company called Volta, who had an idea of basically providing free electric charging to drivers that drive electric cars at malls and at high traffic venues, even like the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, where there's going to be a lot of people coming and going, and those venues want to attract the users that are spending money right now on electric cars. So what they've done is they've added a digital signage component to it by using our outdoor displays on both sides, and they sell the advertising to companies like basically some of the big companies that are spending money on their displays and on their signage are like Chevy and Ford, because they're all trying to attract more future users. They're saying, look, yes, we know we have the people that have already bought our cars and are charging their cars at the stations, but we also want to attract the other people that might be at the mall going, that's a good idea. What are they doing there? And kind of intriguing to them. And so what we did is we showed an electric charging station that had the digital signage component there along with the Tesla, just truly to show and provide a mind's eye experience to the guests walking the trade show. So it's not just a kiosk in a booth. So we really gave them an understanding. I think anybody that walked by the show quickly understood what we were showing. It wasn't just a car in a booth.
Hey, Corey, thing that's probably worth, it's hard to visualize. So we actually shot a video explaining it. That was not like one of our short videos. We actually did an interview video. I think I interviewed Brian. I can't remember for sure if it was Brian or
Nick.
Maybe it was Nick. But I did shoot a video explaining the entire system. And I also shot a video with Volta explaining the system. And what was neat about it was a complete package. And I think that's one of the ways that DSC has matured, is you don't see a whole bunch of little boxes sitting there now. You see applications. And I think that's, hats off to Brian and his team for doing a really creative one by putting a Tesla on the show floor.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of that lately. And I think that is one of the areas where Gary's right. DSC has matured from just a bunch of hardware companies, software companies, just showing their own product to people showing the total solution, because there are a lot of end users that come to that show each year. And we actually saw a pretty sharp increase in users at DSC this year, which was a really good surprise to us. So they really came there and understood, they actually had a project in mind typically of what they're looking to deploy. And as long as we had that type of solution in our booth and caught their eye, they'd come in and they'd want to talk and learn more about that particular item. They didn't necessarily want to learn the whole thing about our company. They just want to know specifically about that one type of solution and how they could go about deploying that into their location, whether it be a retailer or a hotel or even outdoor malls as well.
And to me, that sounded pretty revolutionary for Peerless. And knowing Peerless as long as I have, and I was in the industry in integration sales and all. And again, when I saw this and Gary posted it and they posted on Rave, again, pretty revolutionary as far as I was concerned for Peerless. What was the genesis of this whole thing, Brian? If I'm not sure if you had talked about that or not.
Of the actual kiosk that we're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Really what it came down to is we had a outdoor display that the customer Volta was in, and they said, well, would that work outdoors in these kiosks? And we said, yes, we could provide that to you to put into your kiosk. And the more we learned about it, we understood, well, what are you guys looking to do? And they were currently, prior to using digital, they were just using static, poster boards that they would put in two-sided into an outdoor charging station, and then they let it run for a month. And they're like, well, wait, if we go digital, we could actually increase our advertising on this charging station. And we got together with them about 6 months ago and came up with the total solution. And they really liked it a lot. And it's really started to ramp up. And their actual advertisers have loved it so much that they've literally been pushing for them to put more and more of these units out there. Much of them are located in California, where California is a very big hotbed of electric cars. But we're starting to do a little bit more rollouts in certain targeted areas in the Midwest as well.
Excellent. And you know, that obviously, you know, for Gary, it had an impact. I had asked Gary about bringing some guests on the show. He definitely recommended bringing Peerless. And I had asked about, another guest. We had talked about Broadsign, that's Stephanie. I had seen other videos posted from ISC, and we'll talk about ISC a little as well. Joining us now is Deborah Simmons with Barco. How are you, Deborah?
I'm doing very great. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm happy to be joining you guys.
That's great. So moving over to Barco right now. Allison is here with us. She's been here, and she introduced you as well. So let's talk a little bit about DSE and what Barco did at the Digital Signage Expo, Deborah.
All right. So first of all, do I have a really good connection with you guys, given that I'm just on my iPhone here in New York City?
You sound terrific.
All right, great. So I'm not sure how much Allison has actually prepped you guys. We had a really beautiful experiential booth at DSE where we were highlighting our retail and advertising market division, as well as our lobby cinema division, as well as our digital workspace division. And when I say an experiential booth, of course, the technology was enlivening all of the experiences. But we really, really, really wanted people to be able to walk into the space and experience what it would be as a customer in a retail store to engage with interactive content that was relevant to the shopper, whether it was male or female, depending on that demographic, the content that would display on the screen would be relevant to the shopper. And then as you drill down with interactivity, the content would become more relevant. In addition to that interactivity, we were able to track some of the analytics in terms of products that were most visited, also heat mapping and Wi-Fi scraping for visitors into our booth. So really, really, really tying in all of the various technologies from hardware and software that really would allow an advertiser and or a retailer to really see how effective their campaign was within the space.
That was the same technology you might have seen, Gary, at ISE at our Barco booth. Some of that, not just hardware, but also the heat mapping. Mm-hmm. We were really interested to see what sections of our own booth had the highest traffic. And I don't know if we have those stats yet or anything. I know that was something I was talking internal because I was curious to find out if there was a particular section of our own booth. But that's something that we're really starting to incorporate and push out there in the real retail space. But what we're also doing that I don't think a lot of people are thinking about that we were showcasing is on the cinema, the movie theater side. And that was through our lobby experience where you're seeing the digital signage enter in to take it going from an analog experience to a very interactive experience, but then also using that same hardware and software tools for exhibitors of AMX, Regal, Cinebistros, all of, you know, Cinemark, those theater exhibitors to use the same technology and analytics that retail and advertising people have probably 5, you know, a couple of years ahead of them to start implementing that. So that was a new twist to things that we had that I thought was interesting and not yet touched on.
Yes, and so Allison just said, I'm sorry, just add a little bit too. I don't have the direct analytics yet, but to your point, we are able to pull those stats to see heat mapping, where are people actually dwelling And from an advertising perspective, what are those dwell times in terms of impressions? How many people have actually laid eyeballs on a screen, which obviously drives, you know, revenue for advertisers. So very, very drill down analytics within the space, but also in the peripheral. How many people are passing around our space? We can actually do Wi-Fi scraping, but have not walked into our space. So even being able to drill down into that information as well.
You know, I've done a lot of on the tech side. I've done a lot of kiosk installations, mainly in DoD spaces. I've even done some designing of some new you know, streamlined looking kiosk. And one of the big things is obviously analytics. But I'm really wondering how are the AI advent and the IT world is starting to become a big deal. What do you guys feel like? Where do you guys feel AI will take? You know, where do you think it will grab a hold of the market?
Hey, this is Gary. I'd like to start there. One thing I would say is the AV industry, as high tech as we are, is way, 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 way behind. I mean, we don't adopt new technologies very quickly. We try to sell them as widgets rather than experiences, I guess, maybe is the way to say it. I think that what's interesting, and Brian, don't be offended by this. You've heard me use this term. I mean, Brian's going to sell bent metal, right? And the way they're going to survive and be popular and big in the future is exactly what they're doing now, which is they're taking that bent metal and integrating it into a prepackaged system and sort of sparking creativity and getting integrators to think outside the box, like you said, Darren. Because, you know, anybody can sell displays, but not everybody can sell a kiosk, because the kiosk is the package and the whole experience in the package. And that's the value add that you get. The whole idea with the AV industry being so far behind in digital signage as it is now, I mean, AV industry only touches about 18 to 20% of all the digital signage integration that's done in the United States, for example. That's a very small number. And that's, you know, that's up, you know, from 13-14% 3 or 4 years ago. So it's really, we haven't had a big impact on that industry. In other words, most of that industry is being sold in spite of the AV industry, I guess is the best way to put it. To add in virtual reality and add in AI, augmented reality, and also add in some of the other digital components is without packaging it. So the way that Barco showed it at ISE, without packaging it together and saying to the AV community, you need to sell it this way, they're just going to look at it and say, well, that's just a monitor, you know. And no offense to Barco, you know, for Barco to survive, they're going to have to continue to do stuff like this, because guess what? There's a whole bunch of Chinese companies that sell all of these. And by the way, also Christie and Sony and everyone else, you know, Epson, also have really bright projectors. And they also have flat panel displays, and they also have, you know, by the way, they also have 4K. And by the way, they also have 4K wobulation. And they also have, so the way that you're going to sell this stuff in the future is by sort of packaging it into, I guess the best way to put it is even more than packaging, maybe case studies, doing more case studies type of stuff. And I think, my hat's off to Brian again, and I'm not just saying this because Peerless doesn't spend a dime on advertising with us. I'm not saying that just to toot their horn. But Peerless actually, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, they said, look, yeah, hey, we see a whole bunch of people doing kiosks. Let's build a kiosk. I mean, they weren't just sitting around waiting for other integrators like you, Darren, to figure that out. They were like, yeah, Darren's figured it out, but the other 99 other non-Darrens haven't figured it out. And I think that worries me a little bit. But at the same time, we're trying to be advocates for the industry. I mean, I go to the digital signage industry, and I push the Digital Signage Federation and the association to push into our industry more, because they're not giving our industry a fair shake. They're saying, you know what? We tried with you guys, and now we've got to go on to the IT industry. And the big thing at this year's show was we're going to focus on the security industry because they're moving faster than the AV industry is. And it's unfortunate because they're right. The AV industry is moving slow, but we should not give up on the AV industry, because the technology and the capabilities that AV integrators have is far superior than the technology that most other integrators have, because unless you give them standards, they can't integrate something. And AV can figure out how to do it even without the standards. I'll get off my soapbox.
No. And you talk about technology, Gary, and that's what I wrote about in my last blog, is that you say AV, you say IT, AV, IT. Well, we really need to talk about technology and a lot of different components of technology that enter into this. And if AV is behind, yes, AV needs to move ahead at a faster speed with all of these technology components that are available to them.
Yeah, like what blows me away is, so I did the tour. You asked me about the tour.
Yes.
I thought it was a really good tour. I focused this year, instead of on products, I focused on applications. Mm-hmm. And then I focused on new technology, not new products, but new technology. So I stopped at Peerless's booth because of this. Volta's giving the chargers away with the displays in them. And when I told that to the AV community, they were like, what? How are they giving it away? And I'm like, really? You don't know how they're giving it away? I said, because they're making money on the advertising. They're like, how do you make money selling advertising? I said, well, let's ask the president of the company. Mm-hmm. And then the AV guys that were there, you know, two of them challenged him. Are you really giving these away? And he was like, yeah, we're giving away. You find us them all that'll allow us to put them in, we'll put them in for free and we'll manage the whole thing. And they said, well, why would you need us if you're giving it away? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You be the conduit to make that deal happen and you'll become their in-house AV company for everything else they need. By the way, they're going to need someone to manage that thing anyway. So I was thinking outside the box there, and I think Brian brought a holy grail to the show. They're like, hey, have at it. This is this company called Volta. You've never heard of them before, but they're willing to give the stuff away for free. So you as an AV company should check them out and take advantage of it. And I don't know, Brian, Nick, whoever's idea it was, a great idea. And more companies are doing that. And I think more companies need to focus on doing that at trade shows. And I know at Infocom, I know some of the booth manufacturers, a lot of them are going to do these experience type booths.
And there's the technology that helps to build it bigger. There's no question about it. Deborah, you're still with us. What else? Anything else that was highlighted by Barco at the show?
You know what? I was actually just listening to the conversation there, and I think what was highlighted is, yes, we definitely want to show the value that's in the box, so to speak, the AV traditional cell, but you also have to really focus on the value between the boxes. And I think that really gets now into the application that we've been talking about, from the content management system to the analytics, et cetera, and really, really, really making content relevant to the environment and to the people that you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm. Right. And broad, by the way, BroadSign, I mean, they're a great example of a company that has really good, I hate to use the term boxes, Stephanie, and I apologize, but I don't really know the right term to use, but like there's a whole bunch of media player companies out there. There are only three that really matter in the AV to the AV community. It should matter to the AV community and to the digital side. There's going to be three that survive, and BroadSign's one of those three that has a unique offering that's going to survive. Maybe four will survive, but I'm pretty sure it's only going to be three.
Well, we can't see Stephanie right now, but I'm sure she's smiling.
Can you name those?
I don't know that it's a good idea, but I will tell you that BroadSign's definitely one of those companies that's doing a really good job, and BrightSign's another company that I think it's got some unique power behind them. And it's going to be interesting, because that industry, you know, one of the things that that I think all those companies are looking out for is, you know, this player on a stick movement will sort of move that industry a lot quicker. And I think what BroadSign's done to differentiate themselves will serve them very well.
And with that, Gary has helped me to introduce our third guest. I don't know how many guests I have anymore, but has helped me to introduce Stephanie Gutnick with BroadSign. How are you, Stephanie? Stephanie, you with us? Stephanie, come off of mute.
Oh, we lost her, huh?
And when Stephanie comes back, we will definitely talk more to her.
She's busy researching the other companies that she needs to buy out.
She's back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear. Yeah, that was a good one, Johnny. Stephanie was researching the other companies that they were going
to
buy.
That's why she wanted Gary to list them. She's like, who do we have to buy out? Buy the competition.
Buy the competition. There you go. That's how you do it. Stephanie, how are you, Stephanie?
Doing well, thank you. Sorry about that. I, too, am calling in from an iPhone.
No, that's okay. So tell
and,
us
and
all.
And from Canada, nonetheless.
Oh, ooh. Wow. Can we know some people from Canada. We'll have to have them on the next show with you. anyway, tell us all about BroadSign and DSE.
Well, I can do that. Just building on Gary's very kind comment about the BroadSign media players, BroadSign is ultimately a software company. And the real reason, and probably the only reason, as to why we started to get into the hardware side of the business, which is not the most, you probably don't want to get into it if you don't have to, is because we had customers coming to us asking for our software and then asking for us to recommend other, you know, the media player solution, that component of their deployments. And really, the fact of the matter is we do power very big screens like the Harman Corner screen in Las Vegas, which is bigger than the size of a football field. That needs a very advanced and robust media player, which is going to cost a pretty penny. But for an average deployment, we're looking across our customer needs, and we really said, you know what? Most of these companies don't need to be spending the amount that they do on media players. They're buying players that are perhaps a bit too robust for their needs. And so we just put together an option that we thought would service them well at a groundbreaking price. And it has helped them deploy more quickly. And so that's kind of how it all started. And we're happy to provide that to those who are in need.
Yeah, it's interesting. Her comment is exactly spot on. And that is, we didn't want to get into the hardware business. We had to because people couldn't sell the software without the hardware. They couldn't figure out how to put the things together without them packaging it for them, which is exactly what I'm talking about there. And I'm sure that they would love to get out of the hardware business because there's no margin in it. The money's in the software. And that's the funny thing is the money's in the stuff you can't see. It's the intangible thing. Darren, you know that. I mean, you've been a Corey. You've been in the industry.
Yeah.
Johnny, that's where you make all your money. You don't make money selling projectors for theaters. You make money selling the experience.
I'm going to tell you, Gary, when Stephanie was saying that, I started cringing a bit inside, saying, well, you know, software, but we have to get into hardware because they don't have to sell the software without the hardware. And that's become the problem of the industry, you know, especially with software, cloud, what have you, is that it's still, and I wrote about this too in the last blog, it's still surfacing in the AV industry, where in IT, it's there. Software, cloud, no, it's there. It's happening. And yeah, like I said, Stephanie, I cringe a bit when I hear you have to say that, but I think that's reality. There's no question about it. And for Darren, you know, where the hardware is concerned, Victoria, I don't know about your ad on this, where that's concerned, but, you know, yeah, Gary, no question about it. It's stark reality. There's no question.
I do have to say, though, I think the only way to overcoming that is through education. Mm. And I've been to 4 DSEs now, and I do notice, Gary mentioned this, Brian mentioned this, the attendees, and I guess the whole crowd in the industry, is maturing. And I noticed that through the simple question, what do you do? And what is digital signage? That is something that I heard a lot in my first 2 years. I heard it a lot less last year. And this year, very few people would come up to the booth just kind of not knowing what was going on. And more we get very educated and sophisticated questions about things that we're really excited to talk about, such as, why our automated software will help a network quickly expand to 1,000 displays when right now they're sitting at maybe 50 versus a playlist-based model. What automated audience measurement people should use to obtain the right kind of analytics in a specific vertical and in their environment. How to integrate mobile into their due deployment. All these questions are, worried about both the technology and both the viewer experience, and I think that means that we're heading in the right direction.
No, I agree. I agree 100% with that, Stephanie. And you know, seeing what you've done, DSC, and again, we'll talk a little bit about ISC as well. I think you're on the right track. BroadSign is on the right track. The other companies Gary mentioned as well. And by the way, Gary mentioned a lot of companies on this show. I think next year we'll have them all on the show. And we got 25 companies on the show one time. Allison doesn't like that.
They can all be your new co-hosts. All 1,000 of them.
Corey, it's a work in progress. I know.
Yeah, I know. Allison. I know. We'll get there. Don't worry. Our 100th show will be there. I see again with Brian, with Volta, and Gary saying, yeah, they put it in the package. It's free. Wait, we can't grasp this concept. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, you become their in-house. You know, you provide for them. Gary, is this such a hard concept for people to grasp at this point? I think.
I mean, the industry is going through a, I don't want to say revolution. It's evolving. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies are really, you know, the big companies are getting bigger and stronger, and the small companies are differentiating themselves by specializing into niche markets, and the ones in the middle are going to get crunched one direction or the other. So I think a lot of the middle in the next couple of years are going to be acquired by the big companies, and a lot of the niche companies are going to get even more niche, and the middle is going to have to decide which direction they want to go, because our industry is evolving quite a bit. And and let's face it, Barco has to sell more displays than they're selling now, and the only way to do that is to sell it outside of our industry, because we're not selling enough. Same with, I mean, I don't know if Brian's willing to share the statistics, but I mean, they sell a lot more mounts for digital signage outside of AV integrators than they do to AV integrators. And in fact, one display company, not represented here, recently sold, over the last year, something in the range of 10,000 displays directly to the client because they couldn't find an AV integrator capable of doing the job. Mm. Somebody built the mounts for those. I'm assuming either Peerless or Chief. Because it wasn't Premier in that particular job. And those mounts also sold direct, kind of. What they did with the mounts is a little bit unique because they rebated the dealer. But they ultimately, we have to, as an industry, sort of have to evolve a little bit. And I think the manufacturers can really help with that. And the way they can help is by really providing these case studies. And I think, I don't want to step on Brian's toes because I think Brian's got more experience with that than probably anybody on here.
Oh, and I agree where you – I'm sorry, Brian. I agree where you said the big guys are getting bigger. The smaller guys, and that's what I've been saying also, they're getting more niche. And they can play in niche markets, those smaller guys. There's no question about it. But you're right. The middle tier is the one that's going to be, possibly consumed by the larger tier of the integration market. And, they have to really start getting with the program per se. And I got to tell you what, I think come Infocom time, they're going to have to really start setting their sights on the right solutions that are going to build them in all the right ways and satisfy their client base. And, Darren, of course, coming from that side of the industry, in integration space, he's going to know what to go and look for at Infocom to, and he knows what his clients need. And Darren and I even talk about, the current and future prospects for clients and their capabilities and integration as well. So I think that's where they really have to go. Brian, I'm sorry, you were going to say something?
Yeah, no, I want to echo what Gary was saying, that our business has transitioned in the past 5 years dramatically to the point where we're going after new niche type of customers to solve problems that they have. We really didn't even get into the outdoor display business because we wanted to. It's because the problem existed. And we used to make enclosures. We made enclosures for 20, 30 years. And the display manufacturers were not meeting that niche solution. So we created that solution. And to solve problems for customers that are reaching out beyond just the traditional AV customer that has a book of SKUs that they reference and that they go to, and they just kind of wiggle down the most common denominator down, bringing down the prices of it. We're looking more for solution-based customers that are trying to find new innovative ways to provide their customers with, you know, products and solutions to fit new niche needs for them, because everybody from the AV industry's customers, they're trying to, you know, make sure that they're relevant to their business and to their customers. And if they keep doing the same old that they've been doing for 10, 15, 20 years, all they've got is what's their pricing advantage over another person for hardware. And as a mount company, that's not too appealing, because, you know, we're not looking to just be a flat and a tilt mount company for the rest of our lives. We want to be able to be, you know, have longevity and be there to provide products for customers. And so we're trying to provide, like what Gary was saying, more of a solution to fit multiple needs within a project, rather than just, hey, yeah, we've got a mount for that. No, we have a mount for that. We have wireless audio visual solutions for that. We have outdoor displays for that. We have video wall solutions, even for beyond just LCD, but now LED. And I even joked with LG. They said, oh boy, what are you guys going to do when OLED comes out? I said, I'll take the fasteners out. You're saying that they'll magnetically attach. Well, guess what? I make metal mounts. So now I can just magnetically attach my my mount to your display. I said, once you guys come out with wireless power, we're good to go.
They've been working on that, but
not in my system.
No.
I don't want to be the first one with that.
See, when I talk about manufacturers, I don't call them manufacturers. I call them solutions providers. I don't care what you provide. And Stephanie, you know, jump in. I mean, you provide a solution for digital signage. I don't refer to, and you want to be a solution. That's what you want to be, right? Right, Stephanie? That's what you want to be referred to as.
We do. Ultimately, to sell anything, you need to be providing a solution to a need. Otherwise, you're not going to sell very much of anything. Something that's very interesting about digital signage, and just touching upon how Gary discussed how little AV kind of works in digital signage, but how crucial it is to it. And then also the concept of the peerless booth and Tesla and being able to incorporate advertising to give away items for free. I kind of view digital signage sitting at the middle of a Venn diagram, with one circle being AV and the other circle being the advertising medium of out of home, and specifically digital out of home. And like it or not, it's the digital out of home component and all the advertising revenue that's coming through that's actually really forcing our space to move forward at a rate that is outpacing AV. That would be because some of these big media owners, such as broadsign customers like JCDecaux and OO Media in Australia, are working with some of the top agencies to fulfill the needs and the desires of top brands. And top brands want to engage with consumers in ways that they haven't already. So when you're talking about, Darren, I think you mentioned AI. Mm-hmm. There was this super viral Pepsi campaign that happened in street furniture. It was a bus shelter with a digital out-of-home display, and people saw like this huge tail kind of coming out of a pothole, and animals chasing each other and looking like they were coming at you. And that just went crazy over social media. People loved it. It's these types of campaigns funded by advertising dollars that are really giving digital signage a modern and fresh name, and people are understanding what it is. My grandfather now points it out when he's, you know, at McDonald's or what have you. And so I think that is really helping us move our industry along. And it's very exciting times to show the companies that aren't these big media owners of tens of thousands of displays, but maybe they have 100, what they can do to still really engage with their viewers.
So how do you guys actually think the best way to get more AV companies involved with the digital signage? I mean, I worked with a company where we dealt with it because we were kind of a default provider. And ultimately the company didn't really know what to really do with it. So I'm just wondering how more AV companies can step into this market. Because to be honest with you, it seems to me that AV, you know, sales guys on, you know, the sales side, it's a sell. It's going to get you into a place where, yes, you may be giving away a Volta for free, but you're getting that access to future business. What's the best route?
Well, I can give you my opinion on that. I'll start and then love to hear everyone else's opinion. So you have to decide at the beginning, which are you going to be? Because very few companies are AVI, SPL, or Whitlock that can do everything. So you have to decide, are you going to go and go after small local digital signage opportunities, dentist office, doctor's office, local restaurants, local cafes, local bars, public service, police, local businesses, or are you going to go after agencies? You can't just decide you're going to do both. If you're a small company in Kansas City, you can't say, wake up one day and say, you know what, we're going after the digital signage market. Hey, Billy Bob, you call all the ad agencies, and Mary, you call doctor's offices and tell them we're in that digital signage market. You have to decide which way you're going to go. So if you're going to go the small route, then you need to partner with companies like Vizix, for example, who makes only digital signage players and signage options only for K-12 and higher education. Like, there are niche companies like that, that you go and partner with them, and that's their niche. Like, they don't make digital signage opportunities for everything. They only make it for K-12 and higher education. That's a perfect niche, right? Because if you're selling into K-12, and who isn't? You're selling into higher education, who isn't? Now you have a solutions provider. You can go right in there, and then then the other option is, or I go to the local big ad agencies in Kansas City, which there's going to be more than one. Somebody's got to dictate who puts the signs on the buses. Someone decides who's going to put the signs on all the public spaces that you see, all the billboards, all the signs, all the everything you see visually outside of your house. There are three or four agencies in Kansas City, and you go to them and say, hey, we are a hang and bang AV company, but also we do full-fledged turnkey digital signs. So use us for the hang and bang too, even though we hate that term, because by the way, even though you won't make money on that, like Darren said, you're making the relationship based on that. But by the way, we also do turnkey digital signs. So since you're doing analog stuff now by putting analog stuff on a bus, how about we turn that to digital? What do you mean digital? How are we going to put digital on a bus? Let me show you. There are companies that make flexible LEDs that run off of power, separate power stations, and we can decorate an entire bus with LED. And someone might say, well, they're never going to go for that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee if you don't mention it to them, they won't buy it from you. I 100% guarantee you're not going to sell anything that you don't tell them about. So, I think that those three rules, I think, will serve you well. And this is what I ended my tour with, was decide if you're going to be niche or you're going to go after agencies. And, oh, by the way, if you don't tell someone something exists, they're definitely not going to buy it from you. So if you'll do those three things, that's how you can get into the digital signage market. It's not rocket science. No offense, Brian. It's not.
It isn't. And I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And I've seen that also as digital signage has evolved. People have specialized. They focused. In the beginning, it was, hey, I do digital signage. Well, but not everybody can be an expert in quick serve restaurants. Not everybody can be an expert in education or corporate or those locations. But you should really look within. What is your customer base? And everybody has a need for corporate communication. And actually, corporate communication within your customers that you already have is a great place to start with offering a digital signage platform to get them started with a display in their lobby or throughout their building, just to communicate to the company employees. And you can easily find out how to set up a simple digital signage network, either through BroadSign or through DSF, the Digital Signage Federation. They have online tools through the Digital Signage Experts group, just to learn more about what it takes to get digital signage started. And I think it is challenging yourself within, if it's a salesperson with an AV company, put yourself out there, try something within your customer, see how it works. It really isn't that scary.
If I were starting an AV company today, I would only do digital signage. That's how big the market is. Mm-hmm. The digital signage market is already 2.5 times the size of the total, the total education AV market. And it's only 6 years old.
I find that to be an interesting statement. I have to agree with you in a lot of respects there, Gary, is that if you're going to start an AV company today, Digital signage should be very high on the list of what you're going to do. Everybody does collaboration, video conferencing, and of course everybody's going to do it, but I would really put a thrust
when my daughter graduates from college in 2 years, if she hasn't figured out what she wants to do, I'm going to push the heck out of her to start a digital signage company, because she's going to make a fortune doing it. And by the way, that's 2 years from now. This is not something you have to do overnight. Even 2 years from now, if you decide to get in digital signage, you're going to make a ton of money in it. Because guess what? That market is like, I'm trying to think, Stephanie, we were talking as we were crossing the street from the hotel to the convention center about how young this market is. This is like they've just invented the printer and we're just finding out about it. And the ink companies haven't started making third-party ink, and the paper companies haven't started making it. There's still only one paper company, International Paper, and there's two ink companies and one printer company. I mean, it's literally that young of an industry. And I was saying to Stephanie, I keep telling everybody, the digital signage market one day is just going to be called advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Gary, I do agree with you, though, when you say that digital signage is really big, especially even in education, that digital signage is actually a bigger deal than my generation thinks. They almost take it for granted that everything is instant, real-time updates. And I was actually reading an article, and I was reading and all the possible enhancement possibly in education, and it said universities with existing digital signage are ... and I'm like, how old is this? Because every time you go into a college or a university, you see digital signage already. It's always there. So I kind of giggled at it. I looked, it was 2009. That's how fast this digital signage is growing. It's really fast. So it's just interesting for me.
There's not a single university or single, I can't say that about K-12, but there's not a single university in the entire North America that does not want digital signage on the entire campus. Like right now, Victoria said, it's in the student union, it's in the undergraduate library, and it's in the high trafficked areas like stadium entrances and stuff like that. But they want it everywhere. And on my tour, I said to the integration companies, you need to build a model for how you put it in for free, making money on the advertising, because in the first year, you won't make much money, but 5 years from now, you'll be able to retire because the ad revenue is way bigger than the hardware opportunity. And there's like Brian agreed with me, there's not rocket science. All you got to do, if you don't know what to do, call Stephanie, seriously. And I'm not sure. And again, Stephanie doesn't send a dime with us either. But so I'm not trying to promote Peerless and Broadsign just because they're on the call or they're spending money with us. But you can call Broadsign and they will partner you with someone who will educate you from beginning to end how to do a digital signage system. And you don't have to go and get 6 months of education on this stuff. You can actually go to the manufacturers and get that education for free. You can call Vizix, you can call Broadsign, Brightsign, any of those good quality digital signage media player companies, and they'll give you that education for free.
We just put Stephanie's phone number out there. Your phone will be lighting up tonight, Stephanie. So.
Great.
I guess that's good for you. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Of course. Instead of calling me, you could actually call Broadsign CEO Burr Smith. Building on Brian's point about setting up corp comms as an entryway into understanding the industry, we actually set up, our CEO is based in St. Louis, even though Broadsign's headquarters is in Montreal. And he has a screen running in his office that he runs himself. So he schedules all of the content to it, and he knows how to fix things, he knows how to make quick changes. And I think that just goes to show how it can be done and everybody can learn how to use it. And once they do, the learning curve has been climbed to a certain point where it's not so daunting anymore.
It's like building PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can build a digital signage network. It's you don't have to become a network expert. You don't have to go to Cisco's CNA class or CCNA class.
Yeah.
You literally can go to one of these companies and they'll teach you how to build that stuff. I guarantee you, if I had somebody randomly call Peerless isn't going to say, oh, we don't do that. They would say, okay, we make this, but let me tell you the three companies that can help you with this. And they would follow the client because they want to keep that business. So therefore, you can pretty much call anybody in digital science because the market is really small right now. And sort of, I don't mean small as in size, but I mean small as in it's a very small network. We all know each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I tell you what, we're going to wrap this up in a few minutes, but Allison, tell us about anything else we haven't heard about DSC or even ISC that Barco did.
Well, I think one of the things that I found interesting, just standing aside and listening to some of my colleagues talk with different clients and other, you know, media. But one thing we did have our booth was our, I want to say it was our F-35, but it was our projector, where you see in a lot of digital signs, everyone's using LED, LCD, flat panels, et cetera. But they were talking about the, with laser phosphor coming onto the playing field, where from my understanding, what I was hearing is that in the past, projection has not really been an attractive option in digital signage market because of the cost, the lamp change, etc. So everyone's got more with LCD, LED, and things like that. Now with laser phosphor on the play, on the gaming field, that seems to, or hopefully is changing the dynamic of what solutions can be installed. And I was really curious to kind of get the group's insight to where projection may its role in digital signage and advertising.
I mean, it allows you to build systems that aren't rectangles. I mean, right now, 95% of digital signage displays are rectangles. Mm-hmm. The other 5% are squares.
Yeah.
The advantage of projection is you can make circles, you can bend light across corners, you can wrap it around poles. Mm-hmm. The reason why we haven't used projectors is because you have to change the lamp every 6 months. But now with laser phosphor, you can change the light, you know, change out the whole projector, change out the light source about every 8 years. Mm-hmm. And you can also mount the projector at any angle, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to mount it one or the other, and because there's no heat dissipation issue.
Do you think there's going to be in the market a learning curve of time for people to get back and equated? You know, and
again, it's going to be you guys. It's going to be NEC. NEC's done a good job in the last couple of years, as you know, Allison, showing in their booth how you can use projection in digital
signage
for menu displays. And then they've also shown how you can build a digital signage aquarium, and they made round and ovals and different shapes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, because an integrator is going to go by that and go, hey, I hadn't thought about that, because they're only thinking here's the problem with KFC calls an integrator, or even if it's a small local restaurant says, I want to change my menu boards to 3 digital menu boards. Automatically, they're thinking, which NEC display am I going to put in there if they're an NEC dealer, or which Samsung display am I going to put in as a Samsung? So unless you get them to think outside the square or the rectangle, then it won't dawn on them to do that. So I think that's really a selling job that you guys are going to have to do, because the technology didn't exist, you know, 6 months ago to realistically do that, even though you guys were promoting it.
Yeah. I love the installations that I've seen with, I think, Nike and some other major, major brand names. I think Nike was actually doing some very fine projection mapping on shoes. And there was also other advertisers that were, or brands that were projection mapping on mannequins and changing
or the whole
different things. I mean, it opens up the box so much more.
Well, I mean, Brian's company would be the bellwether of that. He could tell you how many mounts are going into digital signage versus not. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say we've done a lot where we're stacking dual projectors and double lamp brightness to do basically augmented reality or projection mapping onto walls and to give that experience. I think projection gives you the ability to really get that experiential part of digital signage that you can't get with a flat display. You know, when you get a flat display, that just gives you one or two dimensions. You throw that projection mapping onto a mannequin or onto two walls, you know, and so you literally walk by something and you see it as on one wall and then on the other wall, and they're kind of talking to you or moving with you. And sometimes it does make you want to get a little bit of vertigo, but I think projection does give you the ability to do that. I mean, Walt Disney's been doing it in rides for 20 years, even with old projectors, always mounting them on an angle, just so that as you're going through, and they're always running things on weird angles. But I think now with these new projectors and lampless projectors and brighter. You've got, there's just so much more that can be done. And I think the traditional AV industry knows more about projection than the digital signage industry. So there's a way for the AV companies to get into digital signage and bring what their skill set is and their knowledge into digital signage.
Yeah, and in digital signage, bigger is better. I mean, it really, statistically, if you read all the stats, the bigger the image, the more likely it's going to be seen. It's just there might be laws, there might be limitations in space and things like that. But if, you know, if, listen, if you're Nordstrom and you're wanting to put digital signage in every store, you're not like, hey, Billy Bob, go give me the phone number of the local AV company. That's not how it works. They're going to, they're going to ad agencies. So you have to partner with an agency, and an agency is going to BroadSign and saying, how do we make this happen? So if you don't have a relationship with BroadSign or a company like the BroadSign, you know, you're not going to get that level of business.
Right. And I think the other big key word that we've been throwing out throughout the entire conversation that I know was important for us at DSC is experience. It's all about the experience. It's taking the hardware and the software, and it's not really talking about that so much, at least at the beginning. It's talking about how do you give the experience to your customers, to the people walking through your doors, to make them come back, to stay longer, to buy more. And it starts with the experience. And that, to me, from a sales point of view or pitch, is where we all are. It's kind of where the transition's happening.
Right. And that comes from case studies. I mean, that's another word for case study.
And, you know, with all the buzzwords that go around out there, experience, you know, has just started too. Infocom uses the word. And I think from the industry organization on down, if everybody starts using that term experience, the digital signage experience, and now talking about projection, using projectors. Brian says, hey, this industry is very knowledgeable in terms of projection. And now when you go to Infocom, go to see Barco. Hey, how do we do that? Well, Barco will be ready this year to tell you how to do that. Right, Allison?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. There you go. Yeah. So, Stephanie, same to you with ISE, DSC, anything we haven't heard yet?
Coming, I guess, once again from BroadSign has many ad-based networks that we power, so we're very much in tune with what's requested by advertisers at the moment. And I think it was Darren once again who asked, how does AV become more involved in the world of digital signage? And it's not just going to happen by osmosis, suddenly everything is going to be equal. I really think that all parties are going to have to understand that everybody brings something unique to the table, and we all very much need each other to help expand our industry. So we're going to have to get better at understanding each other's languages. So it's not really a rose by any other name. What's going on in the advertising industry right now is everybody wants programmatic media buying and selling to come to digital out of home. The problem is we can't advance until everybody has decided what programmatic means. We have a running tally in the office of all the different definitions by the various agencies and media owners. So the same thing, I was at ISA, International Sign Association show a couple of years back, and they called digital signage dynamic signage or something like that. And just the lingo was off, and it just was that extra step to help bring people to understand what it is that we do in digital signage. So making sure that at shows like Infocom, we have people from shows like Digital Signage Expo evangelizing the language and better understanding what AV industry alumni would call different things. That's going to help us bridge these barriers and move forward together instead of just being confused about certain things that we all do very similarly, but that we call different things and thus can't move forward as a result.
Excellent. Brian, same you, ISC, DSC, anything we haven't heard yet with Peerless AV?
No, I think you got it pretty good. Just get out there and learn more about what solutions you can offer your customers.
Excellent. Brian's also being very humble. Brian's company actually makes a really cool wireless system for moving content to digital signs completely wireless called Peer Air. Peerless, I don't think, does a great job promoting that I think they undersell that line, I guess, is probably what I would say.
Yeah, we put it on the outside of our booth, and when people see it on the outside, they come in and go, what is this? I don't know. Yeah, we do need to bring that inside the building. Actually, I had a project for a dental office just today at 58 dental offices around the country that have anywhere from 4 to 6 patient rooms. And they want to be able to provide the same content in each one of those bays, and they don't want to wire each one of those rooms. So
they just want to put power, I assume. They got to put
power. They're going to have power, but they just don't want to have video running to each one of those bays. And so they're going to be putting a TV in each bay and doing it. And they're running a test right now with our wireless device. And they've been so kind to wait while we were out of stock on that for the past year. We ran out of them. So, yeah, it is definitely a great product, and it works really, really well for us. And, again, it's another
That's
one
great. Of the products
we came up with because it didn't exist or other solutions out there didn't solve the need. And we're like, well, I think we can figure this out.
Excellent. So before we go, hey, Johnny.
You want me to talk?
Yeah. Johnny, did you like this show, Johnny?
The show is awesome. And I don't. This is a longer conversation, but we talk about experience in digital signage and it being so new. I think the next big experience, if you want to say that, is the integration of voice controls and artificial intelligence. Yeah. Imagine going into a mall and having a personal shopper, or you can do that now, right, at Macy's or wherever, and you have a personal shopper. You don't need that person because you can talk to the AI in that entire mall. Most people have a smartphone now, and your phone actually tells you when you're close to like a Starbucks and things like that. That gives you advertisements and discounts based on your geolocation. We're going through a mall, traveling, movie theaters, things like that. With the AI being the shopper, that, I mean, it's going to eliminate a lot of jobs, but it also maybe the tech or IT managers to maintain these places and facilities. The AI experience, a part of the digital signage, is going to be the next phase of shopping across the nation. And we're not quite there yet, but we're not far from it. I think that's going to be a huge movement once we start to integrate that experience with things like Alexa or Siri, you know, talking to and shopping that way. The next phase is just bring it into larger facilities, honestly. And with digital signage, I think it's going to help promote that.
I totally agree with you, Johnny. I mean, I looked it up a bit ago, and it was 74% of people already use their mobile phones to help them shop. And that was a 2011 statistic. So I'm sure almost like 90% are now, especially, you know, younger generation coming out with phones, and they're always on it. So a lot of people use phones all the time to help them shop. So I can see that going that way.
But the irony of that is the same, you know, speaking from an old person, the problem is in our industry is that we are the ones telling our kids to put the phones away. Ironically, we're trying to sell the technology that we're not even knowing how to use because we don't let our kids teach us how to use it. I mean, look, I wouldn't know how to use all the stuff I know how to use. And I do everything, Snapchat, through everything, thanks to my kids and the kids that I teach in college. And you have to kind of stay up with that kind of stuff because a lot of people wouldn't even know. Like if you to the average AV integrator said, hey, we want you to follow a shopper and personalize that, they would like, whoa, like they wouldn't even know where to start. And the irony is you start in the digital signage market because they already have it there. And they're the bridge between this device and the big screen. I mean, literally the bridge between those two. By the way, this is a digital out-of-home device. This is a digital sign.
So like imagine taking that iPhone and then going, you know, and researching, you know, the next, you know, getting an ad, walking through the mall and, hey, bringing you into the Apple store and taking the advert and projecting it. And once you walk in the store up on the walls, the entire store itself could be a digital sign as well as personal assistant for you or any shopper in that place. Now it does eliminate a lot of the jobs in the store, but that entire store could be one entire digital signage with AI integration.
The internet was supposedly going to eliminate all the jobs, but I see more people working in an Apple store than working now than working there 15 years ago or 10 years ago. So I don't know where that concept came from. I think what happens is the economy of scale, the economy itself grows from this kind of stuff and jobs shift.
True. You know? So. Yeah. I'm pretty gung-ho about the combination of do with mobile. We call it the dynamic duo, pun intended. And that could be a whole other, that could be a whole other conversation. But really, it's, as Gary was saying, it's such a natural
relationship between the two mediums. You have this do screen that's a one-to-many type means of communication, and then by incorporating a mobile, you really can deliver a one-to-one experience that doesn't have to be consumed right where the digital display is. The consumer can take the content that they want, telling the advertiser or the person sending the message that they're actually interested and they want to interact with whoever is sending this message, and then they can take it along the rest of their journey to the store or to their home for more information. And what's interesting is that USA Touchpoints actually has a stat that 23% of people who viewed a digital out-of-home display then looked up for more information on their phone. And that's in comparison to about 16% with other media. So there is that natural relationship between the two types of screens. And I think the main person to benefit from this is the viewer, or then the user, I guess, once it hits their cell phone.
Excellent. So Johnny and Victoria, I guess you'll team on this project, right? And
I'll let Victoria take the lead on that one. I'll just be the assistant.
Oh, okay. It's all yours, Victoria. Put the whole team together. You can have Gary too if you want, okay?
Yes.
A little fun fact, turtles can breathe out of their butt, which is surprising because most humans can only talk out of it. Just go ahead and take that information and process it.
I think we have to end the show now. It can't go any further than that.
My kids were listening to this until now, but now.
Sorry, question.
We don't tell Johnny what to say. Johnny. He just says it. It's okay.
I will answer Victoria's question though. I think it was Victoria that said, "What is?" Or maybe it was Stephanie that said, "What is? Who's defining?" A term of, I forget what programmatic. I mean, basically whatever, whatever. I think it was Stephanie said, who's determining the term programmatic? Well, it's whatever Mark Zuckerberg's company decides it's going to be called, and whatever Google decides it's going to be called, because those two companies are 95% of the programmatic advertising world. So there's your answer.
And there you go. Can't end it any better than that. So I would like to thank my guests, Gary Kay, Allison Maxson, Deborah Simmons, who left us a little while back, but thank you, Deborah. Stephanie Gutnick with Broad Sign, Brian McClymans, it's McClymans with Peerless AV. Thank you all for joining us very much. And I'd like to thank my crew that's here tonight. Victoria Barella. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Darren Pinchback. Thanks for joining tonight, Darren.
No problemo.
And Johnny Moda. Always Johnny Moda. All the time.
I like turtles.
Yes, we know.
Because you can relate.
Agreed.
Any final words, Gary?
Darren's got the best last name on the history of in the history of the planet. That's like the best last name. I have
what
to
do
say.
You know? And we call it. Word. And we call him Mr. Pinchback. By the way,
there a trade.
You go. There you go.
There's a song in there somewhere, Gary. Thank
you. You can find my name on Wikipedia. Seriously.
And on that note, thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you next time.